Welcome to Chapter 31, 1,500 Miles to a Party. Before I start this chapter, I want to provide a little bit of background information regarding that infamous credit card that I used last month to buy 4 weeks of timeshare. Actually, when Kathy got me the card, I got kind of excited. I never had a credit card. So the first time I used it was at Howard Johnson's. I bought a grilled cheese and a coffee. That's important later on in this chapter. So the first time was the grilled cheese and a coffee. The second time was the four weeks of timeshare at the Galleon. So anyway, we're clear on that. Anyway, when I got back home after the month in Key West, I have a birthday in February, and I was on my way down on a Saturday. It was actually the Valentine's Day, and I was on my way down to pick up Kathy at her home in Delaware. And when I walked in to do this, lo and behold, there was a surprise party for me. And the biggest surprise wasn't the party. It was who was there at the party. Three individuals traveled from Denver, Colorado, to Wilmington, Delaware, to surprise me at a birthday party. I don't know of anybody, certainly in my lifetime, that's ever made that kind of a journey for a party. Anyway, those three individuals, Barry Fortner, George Ulrich, and Bill Manjo, all who were part of the first Eagle brokerage firm in Denver, Colorado. Barry Fortner was the president, Bill Manjo was vice president, and George Ulrich was their biggest producing broker. Well, needless to say, I was shocked, to put it mildly. When I brought Margate public, it was a self-underwritten deal, as I mentioned, meaning I didn't need a brokerage firm. So I met Barry, and he was a broker for another firm, and we hit it off. And while he wasn't the underwriter, because usually it's the underwriter that's on the prospectus, meaning that the underwriter was on the prospectus, they're the one that raised the money for the company going public. Well, we didn't have a brokerage firm on the underwrite on the prospectus because we didn't have one. But anyway, we developed this relationship, and it was probably the consummate definition of a mutually beneficial relationship. From my standpoint, Margate got a liquid, viable market for our stock that is very, very important, that people can buy and sell without, you know, paying exorbitant prices on their spread, meaning if you want something that is quoted close together, the bid and asked. So there's not this big spread where somebody has to pay, let's just say hypothetically, a dollar, and then if they go to sell it, it's 50 cents, which means the quote of the stock would be 50 at a dollar. We worked very closely together, and we had a viable market, and we had somebody, a broker's firm, Barry Fortner to start with, who supported what I was doing. The next 2 years, as we all know, success has 1,000 fathers and failure is an orphan. Barry Fortner wound up opening his own broker's firm, and had about 100 brokers eventually. And part of it, I would like to think, was his relationship with Margate Ventures. People, you know, even though he wasn't the underwriter, I made it a point to let everybody know that he was, in fact, the major market maker and was the broker's firm that I would suggest people to go to if they wanted to take an interest in the stock. So we both came away with something that was more valuable than what we went in with. So anyway, that's just a little history. But I was really moved by the fact that they would give up a Valentine's night on a Saturday night and travel halfway across the country. Don't get many people that will do that. Not many. Well, the next night, we went to the Kobe restaurant. The Kobe restaurant is by far our favorite restaurant over the years. It is a Japanese restaurant. It was in the basement of the Hilton in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. At that dinner, now there's, if you've been to a Japanese restaurant, you realize that basically the tables seat eight, two at each end and four in the middle. And the chef is on the other side, cooks at the table. So anyway, we're there, and they gave me a beautiful rosewood briefcase. It was a cool night. It was special. And we were there having a great time, and I was drinking sakis. Sakis is the only thing that makes me a little crazy, really. I don't know why. It seems innocent enough when they tell you it's rice wine. And I'll tell you one thing about sake. You need to develop a taste for it. I don't think anybody ever had their first glass of sake or a little container and said, man, I love it. It kind of tastes like kerosene. It's kind of one of these things that you could probably breathe on your windshield in the middle of winter and the ice would melt and run off. But anyway, so we're there, and we decide, you know, what we're going to eat. And again, the conversation comes around to, and by the way, we had actually 16 people there. We had, that was a table with those gentlemen and four of us, and then another table of my friends and other family members. So we had 16, two tables. And so anyway, during the night, we were, you know, it always, when something, birthday and all, people always bring up, my family used to bring up about how hard I am to buy for. So that became kind of like a, you know, a topic of conversation. And finally, I think it was Barry, he said to me, he said, you know, he said, really, what, if you had your choice of anything, what would you like for your birthday? Is there anything you really like in this world, you know, that you don't already have or, you know, you always thought about? I thought a minute. I said, you know what? What I really want is that. Are you asking me seriously? He said, yes, I am. I said, I really want the check. Of course, everybody said, yeah, that's typical. Yeah, yeah. So I said, well, you know, you asked me a question. You asked me a serious question. Anyway, after a little back and forth, I wound up getting the check. Here's the fun part. Okay, it comes time to pay. Now, I take out of my pocket my freshly minted platinum card that has been used, as I said at the outset, for grilled cheese and coffee first, and to buy 4 weeks of timeshare in Key West. So this was going to be my third purchase. So I give it to the girl with the bill, and about 5 minutes later, the hostess comes back to me and says, Jim, could you come with me for a minute? I said, all right, it seemed a little strange, and like I said, after about a half a dozen sakis, I guess everything seemed strange to me. So I go out to the lobby, and she said, it's American Express on the phone from Dallas. I said, okay. I get on the phone, I said, yeah, how you doing? The guy said, listen, Mr. McGonigal, I just want you to know this is for your own protection. I said, well, if anybody needs protection tonight, it's me. I said, protect me, what do you want me to do? He said, well, because of the size of the bill, I want to ask you a couple of questions to make, you know, to confirm that you are who you are. I said, okay. I said, as long as you go slow with the questions, because, you know, I've been drinking sake. He said, well, my first question is, he said, what was the last time you used, you know, your card? I said, well, that's easy. It was for a grilled cheese and coffee. I had forgotten, for some reason, I didn't associate the purchase of the timeshare with the credit card because that was the first time I used it for food, and this was the second time for food. He says, no, sir. I said, well, all right, let's go on to the next question. He said, all right. He said, where do we have the bill sent? Well, I gave him my address. I figured the name was on my card. But actually, the bill went to Kathy because the card is in her name. I was just under her, a cart under her. So as you can see, this conversation, this Q&A wasn't really working out too well for me. So I said, listen, before you ask me any more questions, I said, I don't feel confident about this questioning. I don't think I'm doing well. I said, let me pose a scenario to you. I have 15 other people in the other room. It's my birthday. A couple of them have come from Denver. They asked me what I wanted. I said I wanted the check. I took the check. I'm out here. I said, now, there's two choices, and they're yours, sir, not mine. I said, you can either reject my pathetic, or I should say, you can either accept my pathetic answers and trust the hostess that I'm a customer and I am who I am, and we can get on with our life. I will go back in there, and all's right with the world. Or you can reject this credit card, and we're going to leave unpaid. Now, he said, well, Mr. McGonagall, since you put it that way, put the hostess back on. So I put it back on. So you probably figured it out by now. They went through. The credit card payment went through. So anyway, that's my history, my first three transaction history with this credit card world. And then I understood why I never was a big fan of credit cards before that. But before I close this chapter out, I want to share one thing, and that is that developing friendships. This was a long time ago. And I remember it again like it was yesterday. And I think that it's important that in business, if you develop friendships, it's a different, it actually is better business because there's a higher level of trust. And the majority of businesses fail because somewhere along the line, there was a breakdown in trust. That's just my opinion. And by the way, I had a great time that night. The sakis were wonderful. Thank you. Up next, he had me at hello.